nice to see you all this morning. I want to thank those who sent me texts to encourage me this last week with my health problems, and the Lord has answered prayer and helped me and strengthened me, and it's been a process, but I thank you for your encouragement, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you too. And so let's keep praying for each other, amen? Amen. Yeah. We are blessed to be able to talk to the Lord about our brothers and sisters, about their needs and about their desires and about the way the Lord is talking to them. So thank you. I think everybody knows me, but my name is Rob. I'm the pastor here. Been pastor here almost 13 years now, and the Lord has been good to me and good to us, hasn't he? He's always good. He's good all the time. So I'm a little late, but Happy New Year. I was going to be preaching last week, which was the first week in the first Sunday of the year, so happy belated New Year. And last week was Epiphany Sunday, which is when we celebrate the coming of the wise men, and the wise men who came to worship the Lord Jesus. An epiphany is kind of like a revelation. Have you ever had an epiphany when the light goes on? Oh yeah, I see the light. My, it's an aha moment. Well, the epiphany is the celebration of Christ being revealed to the Gentiles. These wise men were Gentiles. They were from far east. They were not Jews. And so, of course, Jesus was first revealed to the Jewish shepherds. And but then later on, he was revealed to these Gentile wise men. I'm glad Jesus decided to reveal himself to the Gentiles, because I'm a Gentile. I'm one of them. I think they're called goys. It's a kind of a derogatory term for Gentiles. Heathen. Ah! What's that?
Goyim.
Yeah. So thank the Lord that he loves Jew and Gentile alike, right? And the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. That's the great mystery that was revealed. Jew and Gentile being one in Christ. And and they, by the way, the reason we have Epiphany Sunday after Christmas is because the wise men arrived probably almost 2 years later than when Christ was born. They came when he was a little toddler. By the way, how many wise men were there? We don't know. The Bible just says plural wise men. There may have been two. There may have been 10. I think there was a pretty good crew of them, because it says that all Jerusalem was shaken up by their coming. So I think they had a big entourage, a big camel caravan that came. They gave three different gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But there is very likely more than three. So that's a little Bible trivia there for you. All right. So what gift does God want us to bring to Jesus? The wise men brought gifts. What gift does God want us to bring to Jesus today?
Ourself.
The gift of ourself, our life, our being. Everything we are and everything we have, we bring and we lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? Worship the King by giving him your life. So be a wise man or a wise woman, and make 2024 the year where you decided to give your life entirely to Christ. Amen? And do it every day. Start your day by giving your life to Jesus. We wake up with that choice every day, don't we? Who am I going to serve, myself or Christ? So I hope that's your New Year's resolution. Amen? That's a good one. So to start off a new year, I'd like to start a new book from the New Testament, the book of Mark. The book of Mark. We're going to be studying the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as told by a disciple in Christ named Mark. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The first four books in the New Testament. Mark is the second book. But many think that Mark was the first gospel written, maybe only 20 years after Christ walked on the earth. So we're going to study the book of Mark, and I'm going to talk more about this disciple named Mark in future messages, but today I just want to share with you why I've chosen to preach on the book of Mark. Have you ever heard the book of Mark preached? Well, if you keep coming here, you'll hear the book of Mark preached, okay? Yeah. It's exciting news to look forward to. Amen. Yeah. I've never preached the book of Mark, so this has been a very exciting study time for me in preparation. So be here or be square. No, be there or be square. Be here or be, just be here. Come every Sunday and learn more about the Lord Jesus. Amen. We can never learn too much about Christ. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, the reason I've chosen to study one of the Gospels is because we just came through the Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But the New Testament and the Gospel writers tell us very little about the childhood of Jesus, other than the wise men visiting him when he was about two, and one episode in the book of Luke when he was 12, we don't have any information from the Bible about the childhood of Christ. The gospel writers basically go from his birth, 30 years later, to his ministry. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go from his birth, how you like that, Ernie? To his ministry, starting when he was about age 30. Okay? You all right with that? Yeah. Doesn't matter if you're all right with it. That's what we're going to do. All right. Each of the four Gospels is written to a different audience. And Mark was written primarily to Gentile Christians, primarily Roman Christians. The Romans were a very practical, hardworking people. It was a culture that embraced a strong work ethic, and they would have loved, Roman people would have loved the quote from the book of James that says, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." So the Romans were very hardworking, get-it-done, kind of no-nonsense people. So Mark portrays the Lord Jesus as the Christ who is constantly at work serving people. Serving people. Mark spends very little time on Christ's teaching, but he writes a lot about his miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Well, first of all, to proclaim that he was the Christ. But he was meeting needs through his miracles, right? He healed people. He fed people. He forgave people. And Christ was always serving others. Isn't that amazing? The Lord of glory, Almighty God, When he became a man, he served. We're going to talk about that today. Jesus was the perfect servant. He served his Father, always doing his will, and he served people. And what was his ultimate service to mankind? He did a service that no one else could do. He laid down his life on the cross for our sins, right? No one else could do it. Only the Lord of glory did it. He served us by dying for our sins and purchasing eternal life for you. That's a pretty heavy service, isn't it? It's an eternal service. Does anyone remember a folk singer named Bob Dylan? Do you have any Bob Dylan? Yeah, Bob Dylan. He had the worst voice in history. I don't know how he became famous, but he wrote a lot of songs. He had a Christian experience later on in his life, and he wrote a song that was called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." You remember that? What's your name?
Mark.
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, I missed you last week. He said, "You gotta serve somebody." And then the ladies in the background said, "Serve somebody. You gotta serve somebody. Serve somebody. It might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. Serve somebody." Yeah, that's my imitation of Bob Dylan. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. You do serve somebody. You serve somebody. Most people serve themselves. They spend their whole life serving me, mine, right? And if you're serving just yourself, you're really serving the devil. Because the devil loves it when people serve themselves and don't serve Christ. So you got to serve somebody. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve today? The life of Christ teaches us that if we are to follow Jesus, we must serve him and serve his people. Because in the end, everyone on earth will have served somebody. Serve somebody. And the theme verse for the book of Mark is not found in the beginning of Mark, but it's found in the 10th chapter of Mark. We're going to look at what I believe and what many commentators believe is the theme verse in the book of Mark. So let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on his word today. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Jesus, for serving us in a way that we can never fully comprehend. The agony and the suffering that you endured to purchase eternal life for us, to redeem us, to ransom us, to forgive our sins, and to give us everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. We are humbled to think that the Almighty Second Person of the Trinity, the Almighty Son of God, would take on human flesh and serve us by dying on a cross. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to follow you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. All right. So we're in Mark 10. It seems that the disciples of Jesus had a little bit of an ego problem. They were often arguing about who was the greatest. Who was the greatest of, of Jesus' disciples. And their ego showed up when two brothers, James and John, approached Jesus with a request. You know, in the book of Matthew, it tells this same episode, but it says that James and John's mom came with the request. So it seems like James and John kind of used their mom to be their mouthpiece. Hey, Mom, ask Jesus about this. But Mark, realizing that the request really came from James and John, he just focuses on James and John. So we're going to be in Mark 10. We're kind of jumping ahead here, but this is going to lead into the theme verse. So James and John, verse 35 of Mark 10. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus said to them, he knew what they were going to ask, but he drew them out. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Verse 37. They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." So we'll stop there for just a second. This is pretty bold, you know. Yeah, they believed that he was the Messiah. This shows that they believed that he was going to be sitting on the throne of his glory one day. But they wanted to be his head honchos, his right and left-hand man. I don't know, they probably fought among themselves who was going to sit on the right and who was going to sit on the left. Yeah, so they were pretty bold. They believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but they didn't understand his plan that humble service would be at the heart of his kingdom. Humble service. We're going to see that in just a minute. Verse 38 and 39. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Verse 39, "We are able." And so Jesus said, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized." What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about a water baptism. He was talking about a baptism of suffering, a baptism of blood. He was saying, "You are going to suffer also. Yes, indeed. You are going to indeed suffer. Drink the cup of suffering and even the cup of death." Wow. He was telling them that just as he was going to drink the cup of suffering, they would have to endure suffering. Jesus would be, so to speak, baptized or plunged into his own death and drink the cup of suffering, right? So they really didn't know what they were saying, but you know, James was the first apostle killed, beheaded by Herod. He endured the cup of suffering. And John was persecuted, beaten, boiled in oil, but he survived. He had a baptism in boiling oil. And ultimately, he was banished to the island of Patmos. They indeed suffered like their master. So Jesus assures them of their suffering. But, verse 40, Jesus says, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared." Jesus was saying, the Father has a plan for who's going to sit on my right hand and left hand. That's not up to you to decide. It's the Father's will. So, verse 41, when the other ten disciples heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. So they're having a tussle among themselves. But Jesus intervenes. And verse 42 says, but Jesus called them to himself and he said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you shall be your what?
Servant.
And whosoever of you desires to be first shall be your what?
Slave.
Shall be the slave of all. Here's the theme verse for the book of Mark, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ took on human flesh, not in order so that he could be a tyrant over his disciples, over people, but so he could serve and give his life a ransom for many. There it is, the Lord of glory. He didn't clothe himself in human flesh in order to make people his slaves. He became man in order to serve people and lay down his life as a ransom for many. We're going to talk about that word ransom in just a minute. I'd like to challenge you to memorize this verse. That'll be your assignment for the book of Mark. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That memory verse declares that the Lord in his first advent came to earth to serve people by feeding them, by forgiving them, by healing them, by teaching them. And then he did the most amazing thing of all that we've already talked about. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Let's talk about the word ransom for a minute. It basically means to buy something back. A ransom is something that is paid to provide the release of someone from that which holds them captive. When a person is kidnapped, you know, the bad guys, the kidnappers, send a ransom note to the family to demand that a certain payment be made to set that person free, right? Well, Jesus, when he shed his blood, made the payment for our sins that atoned for our sins and set us free from sin, death, and hell. Amen? He paid the ransom for us. And set us free from the wrath of God that we deserve. I think of that song, and on that cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Amen? Jesus paid the ransom for you and me. Isn't that good news? You're stunned into silence. That's good. Clearly, Jesus is using his life as an example to his disciples. Let me just read verse 44 and 45 again. And whosoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, he says, look at my life as an example. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Yeah. So we are called as Christians to serve one another. Now, can we give our life as a ransom for somebody? Now, only Jesus can do that, right? Only Jesus, the Son of God, can give his life as a ransom. But we can lay down our lives for one another. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We can imitate Christ, if you want to say it that way, by laying down our life for each other, serving each other, thinking more about others' needs than our needs. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to go there. You can read along if you have your Bible, or I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. This is Philippians 2, verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Whoa. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. Was Jesus looking out for his own interests when he became man? He didn't need anybody to die for him. He's the almighty, living, holy God, sinless, perfect. He did it all for us. Wow. Phew. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Other translations say he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Did you notice that in both of these Paul did the same thing that Jesus did. He used Christ's example of humility and service to encourage us to do the same. Jesus is our example. What did he do? What did Jesus do? He laid down his life and gave his life as a service to others, and then he was ransomed. He was killed as our ransom. Have you ever sung the kids' song, if you want to be great in God's kingdom? I'm singing to you this morning. Learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. Yeah, learn to be the servant of all. If you are sitting around, and I know a lot of Christians who do this, if you're sitting around waiting for someone to serve you, you are missing the mark. That's a little bit of a pun. You're missing the message of Mark. If you're waiting around for someone to serve you, you're missing the mark. Again, let me read it again just to emphasize this point. Back to Mark chapter 10, verse 43, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So let's just take a quick look at, you got a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, good, so do I. We got about another hour to go, so buckle up and let's not really, only about 55 minutes. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says about being a servant to all. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 24, we'll read that. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 24. Paul says, "For though I am free from all men," Jesus Christ made him free. Again, 1 Corinthians 9:19. "For though I am free from all men, I made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law," he became as under the law, "that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, I became as without law," not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, "that I might win those who are without law." Verse 22. "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you." Yeah, okay. We'll stop at verse 23. Paul did not insist on his right to be free and live his life the way he wanted to. He laid down his rights, he laid down his freedom, and he became all things to all men. He became a servant to all. You know, in evangelism, I'm going to talk to us now, you serve unbelievers by getting into their world and listening to their worldview and be careful not to offend them, because if an unbeliever senses that you genuinely care about them, they will be much more likely to listen to your testimony. Right? Humble yourself before unbelievers and listen. You can win more people to Christ by listening than by yelling, right? So I'll try not to yell too much here. Listen to this. This is a great quote. "People don't care what you know till they know that you care." People do not care what you know, all your vast theological knowledge. They don't care what you know till they know that you care. Amen? That's how you serve unbelievers, is by letting them talk to you, by finding out what makes them tick, by finding out what they love, and get into their world and find a springboard from which you can share that which you love, which is Jesus Christ, right? So, you get that? That's serving unbelievers. You're not to be a hammer to try to hammer unbelievers. That just drives them away, right? And then, of course, we're called to be servants to our brothers and sisters. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, again, to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your liberty as an excuse to sin. Use your freedom to become a slave and serve your brothers and sisters. In both cases, whether serving an unbeliever or serving a brother, Paul talks about laying down your freedom in order to make yourself a servant. This is called laying down your rights. You don't have any rights. You have the privilege of serving everybody, unbelievers, believers, being a reflection of Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, right? Jesus, the Lord of glory, when he came to earth, he had the absolute right to come as king, demanding to be served. But he laid down his rights as Almighty God. He became as no reputation, and he became a servant. And again, he served people. He served you and me. He served again by feeding people, by teaching them, by healing them. He even washed the disciples' feet. Remember that? He made himself their slave. Then he performed the service that no one else in all the universe could do. He laid down his life on the cross. Down his life on the cross, shedding his blood for my sins and for your sins. Amen. For the sins of the whole world. Yes. To give us everlasting life. So don't miss the mark. Don't miss the message of Mark. Follow Jesus and learn to be the servant of all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. O Lord of glory, you are so kind and gracious and loving. We are humbled, really humbled, that you would give your life as a ransom for us. Oh Lord, I pray that our hearts would be broken and healed by you. Broken over your sacrifice and healed so that we might sacrifice our lives for others. Thank you that you are here, Lord. I pray that we would not miss the message of Mark, which is that our Master, the Lord of glory, became man to serve us by purchasing us everlasting life. Let us be ambassadors for you and serve both unbelievers and believers by giving our lives for their service. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's thank Jesus for his service to us on the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Let's sing it together to close. And as we're singing,